Civil rights, business contracts, and media distribution have all come together in one case that's headed to the Supreme Court. Media entrepreneur Byron Allen has sued Comcast for refusing to carry channels from his company, Entertainment Studios Networks. Allen, who is black, says Comcast's decision was racially motivated, and he's seeking $20 billion from the media giant through a Reconstruction-era law that bans racial discrimination in business contracts. Comcast says they decided not to carry the seven channels from Entertainment Studios Network for purely business reasons. The case will test whether people can sue for discrimination in business contracts without proving that race was the sole factor. At the same time, it highlights the lack of diversity in media ownership. Hassan Kanu is a legal reporter for Bloomberg Law. Hassan, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, Tanzania. Thank you for having me.
So Comcast is saying they didn't discriminate against Allen. Allen is saying the opposite. What's happening here?
So there's sort of two battlefields here that this fight is being fought on. And one is the actual obvious fight between Comcast and Mr. Allen about whether or not race had to do with their decisions not to carry some of his shows and channels on their networks, right? The second, maybe more important fight that will have a lasting effect on many more race discrimination claims in various areas, including outside of entertainment, is about basically how the courts going forward, how one can actually prove that they were discriminated against racially. And that's important basically because it's a guideline for every court, under the Supreme Court is obviously the Supreme Court of the land and establishes guidelines and precedent for all other courts and the federal government to follow. And so the court's decision here will lay out a standard as to how going forward courts will actually look at the question of did this one party discriminate against another and decide.
The issue usually with racial discrimination cases is one that has to prove intent. How do you get past being able to prove intent? Is that what the court will be looking for?
Right. The court here basically will be trying to decide between two standards, right? And one is what's known as a but-for standard. And that in plain English is basically the plaintiff has to show that everything else being equal, they would have received a different result if they were not black or not a person of color, right? Whereas the other standard basically says that the plaintiff has to show that race was one of among other motivating factors and that led to the bad result for them. In this case, Mr. Allen not getting a contract with Comcast. So the Supreme Court will be deciding which of those two standards are more appropriate to actually answer this question under going forward.
And could the Supreme Court essentially say, or could Comcast argue that, look, we just didn't like the programming on these channels. It had nothing to do with the fact that Mr. Allen is black.
Right. Comcast's argument here is that we didn't think and summarizes basically that we didn't think you would have enough of a reach to get the kind of audience we think we should get. But the Ninth Circuit, which was the court below that found in Mr. Allen's favor, makes the point that Mr. Allen's company followed some of Comcast's guidelines when they would say we need you to do X, Y, Z in order for us to carry you. But Comcast would then change position, that they carry much lesser known white owned networks, including Inspirational Network TV, channel called Baby First America, et cetera, et cetera. So those are the arguments on the other side for Mr. Allen, basically saying that, this is not just about the quality of my programming. There seems to be other reasons at play here.
Hassan Kanu is a reporter for Bloomberg Law. Hassan, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm joined now by Amar Jean Christian, Assistant Professor of Communication at Northwestern University and the owner of OTV, Open Television. Hi, Amar.
Hi.
So let's talk a little bit about the media side of things here. I mean, how many channels, or I mean, just in terms of black-owned media, what does the landscape look like in the United States? I'm going to assume it's not that encouraging.
It's not that encouraging. We have hundreds of channels in the United States and very, very few black-owned channels. You do have TV One, which is owned by the Urban One, a company that also owns Cleo TV, which is one of the new channels that Comcast put on. But the most prominent one, Black Entertainment Television, or BET, has been owned by Viacom for almost 20 years now.
Looking back historically, I mean, I'm thinking about just black media in general. I recall Johnson Publishing, the publisher of Jet and Ebony, is under its own duress right now. What have some of the challenges been for black ownership in terms of television and just broader media?
Well, the issue has always been investment in capital, and that's particularly acute for television because it's such a capital-intensive business. If you want to start a channel, you have to have 24 hours or multiple hours of content on air. That is very expensive. It usually costs millions of dollars, and black owners need investors who are willing to go with them on that ride. go into debt for a number of years to build the audience base and then, you know, let them profit from the spoils. And there just haven't been that many investors over the years that have done that. And what the consequence is that we have very few Black-owned media and thus issues of Black representation in TV in general.
We're also in an age of mass media consolidation of TV networks and distributors. We did a story recently about how Disney owns, I forget what percentage of the media landscape at this point. How has that impacted Black content makers?
It's been pretty disastrous. The 1990s was a really interesting period when cable was on the rise and broadcast television started ordering Black TV shows because white viewers were moving to cable, whereas Black viewers were disproportionately watching free TV. That ended after the federal government deregulated television, getting rid of the FinCEN rules, the financial interest in syndication rules, which basically barred networks from owning programs on their channel. So all of a sudden, by the late 1990s, networks were able to own more of the studios that were making their shows, and then conglomerates were able to own more networks. And vertical integration made it very difficult for Black entrepreneurs to get their shows greenlit. Once that wave fell out, the cable universe started to order a lot of Black shows, again, wanting to use that buzz and that underserved audience to build up their own audiences. But by the late 2000s, they again forsook the Black audience and went to more wealthy audiences where they can make money. So vertical integration has always resulted in decreased competition, which makes the Black market sort of this thing that moves when corporations need it, but then when they figure out how to make money without them, they book.
Amar, then came this thing called the internet, where everybody had an opportunity to produce and publish content. Unfortunately, my understanding of this is that money just isn't there in terms of advertising revenue for internet content. What role has that played in terms of Black media ownership?
Yeah, there actually are more Black networks online. They make money primarily from subscription, not advertising. Subscription funds are great because it's consistent, but it's really not enough to have a huge programming base. I'm in this boat right now. I have this channel, OTV, Open Television, and we work with a local Chicago artist to get diverse television out there. And it's just very difficult with social media algorithms to find that audience and build a stable base. So pretty much distribution is the struggle of media today. If you can't have distribution, you can't have your own representation seen by the masses.
And then you look at things like Black Twitter and you wonder, the people are there. How come the money isn't following? Amar Jean Christian is a professor of communications at Northwestern. Thanks for joining us, Amar.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.